ColbyJack.net is proud to present From the Flames by Tricia M. Wilson. The people of the fire, the Blessa, led by their queens, have ruled the island of Alfea and oppressed the Driva, the people of the ice, for more than 16 generations. With the Drivian king in hiding and little hope on the horizon, the Driva look to one person to save them from the vile Blessa, the Diviana. According to legend, the divinely gifted Diviana will one day overthrow the Blessa and restore the Drivian king to his rightful throne. But with the search having lasted for more than 400 years, will the Diviana ever come to light? Willow is the slave of the Raskpill family. Bought at the age of 4, 20 years have passed since her life irrevocably changed. Her existence is no worse than any other slave, but within, Willow wonders if there isn't something more she should be doing with her life other than serving the ungrateful. Ordered to travel with her master's family to Sondertoft so her master's adult children can take part in an ancient rite of passage, Willow is shocked when she learns that she too must participate. Will she fail, as all before her have? Will she rise to the challenge and become stronger after passing through the flames? Episode 67. Right. Well, the captain told his crew to keep going on the heading he'd ordered. His first mate tried to talk some sense into him, but nothing he said would change the captain's mind. What's wrong with Hawk? Sigurd breathed into Willow's ear.
I don't know, she answered. Maybe he's seeing something or sensing some type of threat. Or maybe he's going crazy.
So the captain was on the deck. It had to have been around midnight. Most of the crew was asleep, except for those on watch, of course. And everything was real peaceful-like. Just as the captain turned back to his cabin, he saw them.
Them? Kalina asked. What do you see? Enemy ships? What?
He saw the balls of light, Azrin said in an eerie voice.
Balls of light? You mean like the light from lamps, right?
Kalina asked.
No, these were floating right over the water. Nothing was below them. Nothing above them. There were 5 or 6 of them out there, just floating and spinning around themselves. To the captain, it looked like they were minding their own business, having fun with each other.
What'd he do? She asked.
He... Azrin's eyes widened. The lights!
What? Hawk asked, his eyes snapping to Azrin.
The balls of light! They're there!
Where? Kalina asked, whipping her head around, trying to see them.
They're right there, above the fire!
He said. There was awe and a hint of something else, maybe fear in his voice.
Can't you see them? They're right there!
Nobody can see them except you, Willow said. What are they doing?
They're spinning around themselves, exactly like in the story. They're so pretty, so mesmerizing, so... What they doing?
Azrin asked, his voice suddenly panicked.
What's going on? Sigurd asked. Talk to us, man.
They're flying around me. Make them stop. I don't like this, he said. Hey, leave me alone. Stop. Stop attacking me.
Azrin's hand started waving in the air, batting at the objects only he could see.
Don't bat at them, Kalina yelled. If you leave them alone, they'll get bored with you and leave.
Azrin ignored her. His hand started moving faster and faster, flailing more wildly as the seconds passed.
Stop! Hawk ordered, grabbing Azrin's hands to stop their movements.
Listen to me. They are not real if you ignore them. They'll go away in a few minutes.
But I can't. Let me go! Azrin yelled, ripping his hands out of Hawk's grip. He started flailing again, becoming even more agitated than before. Then suddenly, before anyone could say or do anything, he was on his feet. Azrin ran around the fire, trying to get away from his invisible foes. But they must have followed him, because he swore violently.
Leave me alone, you little bastards! He screamed.
He ran around the group one more time before yelling, "They're attracted to the fire! I've got to get away from the fire! Ah!" Ezrin ran away into the mist, still beating at the invisible balls of floating lights. "Three gone, only four left," the voice from before hissed into Willow's ear. "Who will be the next tested? Maybe it'll be the girl, or maybe the handsome man sitting next to you. Will he have the strength to pass the test?" Willow ignored the voice, knowing if she said anything, everyone left would deny hearing anything, but her heart picked up a notch. Who would be the next to be tested, and would they be able to fight it? Could anyone, her included, pass these tests?
"Do you think they're okay?"
Kalina asked. "Who?" Sigurd asked.
"Ezrin, Lafen, Netzel. Do you think whatever was tormenting them stopped when they left the mist?"
"Yes," Willow said. "I don't think the mist can produce magic where it isn't present. And since it feeds on the field of blood, once they left the field and the mist, they should be fine." "I'm surprised they all failed, especially Ezrin," Sigurd said, trepidation in his voice. "I expected him to pass with flying colors." "This isn't a normal test," Hawk said sharply. "If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. Only those who are truly brave and have enough courage can withstand the mist." "Well, I'm going to pass this test if it kills me," Sigurd said.
"I don't know if the mist can kill people," Willow said, suddenly wondering why she'd never considered such a possibility. "It might be able to drive you insane, however."
"Then I'll stay until I'm insane."
"That's the attitude, Sig," Kalina snorted, "because then you'll be so much help to us."
"Why, you little," she laughed.
"Temper, temper, Sig. Better watch it or your lady love will start to wonder about you."
"Quiet," Hawk suddenly ordered. "Did you hear that?"
"Great. Another one who's hearing voices," Sigurd griped. "What do you hear? Voices? The whispers of the dead soldiers luring you from us. What?"
"Weeping. You don't hear it?" he asked. Most of his attention was on the voices only he could hear.
"No," Willow answered gently. "We don't hear it. Where's it coming from?"
Hawk didn't answer. He got to his feet and walked to the other side of the fire, looking into the mist. He had only taken a few steps away from the fire's light when he suddenly stopped, stiffness in every inch of his body. "No!" Hawk cried in anguish, dropping to his knees. He bowed his head, cradling it in his hands. His shoulders shuddered, and while they couldn't see his face, Willow would have wagered that there were tears sliding down his cheeks.
"What happened, Hawk?" Willow asked, moving so she was right behind him. "What happened?"
"She's dead. How could she be dead?" he moaned, not really answering Willow.
"Did you see anything?" Sigurd asked. Will looked at the area right in front of Hawk. All she could see was mist and dew-touched grass. Nothing else.
"No, I don't see it, whatever it is."
She knelt down in front of Hawk and put a hand on his chin. Tilting his head up, she saw tears track on both of his cheeks, and his eyes were shadowed with grief and misery. Speaking very quietly, she asked,
"What's wrong? What do you see?"
"She's dead," he said again, no recognition in his eyes, as his eyes flickered from her to the grass in front of him. "How did this happen?" he growled, asking the question to the mist which surrounded them all.
"How did what happen? Who died?"
"How can you be gone? I just saw you a few minutes ago. You were fine. You were alive." "To hell with it," Sigurd growled. He got up and went next to Willow. Grabbing Hawk's shoulders, he pulled him to his feet and shook him hard. "What is wrong with you, man? Snap out of it and tell us what you're seeing." "Why weren't you with her when this happened?" Hawk asked, suddenly angry. "You were supposed to help me protect her."
"Who? Who are you talking about?"
"Willow! Who else would I be talking about?" Hawk yelled. "Don't you see her body? Nobody will tell me what happened."
"Willow's not dead. She's alive. You're seeing what the mist wants you to see,"
Sigurd said, shaking Hawk again.
"I'm right here, Hawk," Willow said, standing in front of him.
What do you mean she's not dead? I can see her. Her body is right there.
He pointed toward the grass, as if it was all the evidence he needed.
Don't you remember where you are? You're in the field of blood, surrounded by this cursed mist. Nothing you're seeing is real.
Yeah, Hawk, it's all an illusion. Come sit by the fire. Everything will be fine in a few minutes,
Kalina said from her seat.
An illusion? But what about the others?
Hawk asked, confused.
They'll be fine, Sigurd said, wrapping an arm around him.
Come, sit down for now. Everything will be all right.
I'm going to kill whoever has done this to her,
Hawk vowed, allowing Sigurd to direct him toward the fire.
I don't care how long it takes. I'll kill them all.
We know you will,
Kalina said calmly.
We'll help you, but not right now. Right now, you need to sit and rest. You've had a huge shock.
She's the best of us. You know that, right?
He said, sitting down. The sorrow and pain he felt were evident in every inch of his body.
Even when she was being stubborn, she was still the best of us. There'll never be anyone else like her.
I know exactly how you feel,
Sigurd said, glancing at Willow as he said this.
But you have to be strong right now. We need to concentrate on healing before we can get revenge.
And I will get revenge. You're both with me, aren't you?
This last question was full of suspicion and a veiled threat.
Yes, of course,
Kalina said soothingly.
We'll be at your side the whole time.
Hawk lapsed into silence. Every minute or so, he glanced over his shoulder to look at the body and mourners only he could see. Then, as suddenly as the visions and sounds had appeared, they disappeared. Hawk became more alert to the real world around him, and looked directly at Willow for the first time since he had started his test.
You're alive,
he breathed, the light back in his eyes.
I was never dead.
You're alive. I can't believe it. But how? I just saw your cold, lifeless body.
What you saw was a vision created by the mist,
Willow said, sitting next to him. He wrapped her in a tight hug. It felt as if he would never let her go again.
I was so terrified, he whispered in her ear. I thought I'd lost you forever.
You haven't. I'm right here. So he passed?
Kalina asked, breaking them apart with her words.
Didn't seem like much of a test. All he saw was your dead body. What type of test is that?
That isn't all I saw. I heard things, too. Hisses in the wind telling me to do things, unimaginable things.
Like what? Sigurd asked.
Hawk shook his head, refusing to respond.
It's not important what they were trying to get him to do. What's important is that everyone's safe and sound, and that one of us has passed the mist test,
Willow said.
But will anyone else pass my tests?
The voice asked in her ear. With three of you left, who knows what I could do?
He's the first, you know, to defeat me. I won't be so easy in the future.
You have been listening to From the Flames by Trisha M. Wilson. Read, recorded, mastered, encoded, and produced by Colby Trax. This work is released under a Creative Commons 3.0 Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike license. Do what you want with it, just don't try to profit from it. Heaven knows we can't. If you have any questions, comments, or rants you wish to share with us, we can be reached at colbytrax@colbyjack.net. That's C-O-L-B-Y-T-R-A-X, at symbol C-O-L-B-Y-J-A-C-K.net. Yep, I sing it too. If you want to follow the exploits of Trisha in Twitterland, just search for Lady Trisha W on Twitter, or follow the ever-dashing, courageous, hardworking, intelligent, and immensely humble Colby Trax on the Twitters as well.
If you find that you can't, just wait to find out what will happen with Willow, the strong dude, and the annoying dude. Be heartened to know that From the Flames is available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Smashwords, as well as from our little shop. Didn't you know about our little shop? Why, yes, we have a little shop located at shop. That's S-H-O-P dot kobejack.net. That's shop.kobejack.net. Yeah, real original there. There you will find the latest ebook versions of all our works in both Mobi and ebook, all DRM-free, as well as audiobook versions of such works as Firmware Hijacked and Proxy, as well, naturally, as well as From the Flames. The audiobooks differ from the podcasts in that the headers and bumpers only run once, and the episodes are grouped in hour-long episodes for easy burning to CD or for downloading on the go. If you find you don't need any stuff, but just want to thank us monetarily for our efforts here, just head on over to kobejack.net, select either audio or visual, and look for the donate button located on the blog roll. Well, anyway, thank you for listening, have a wonderful week, and remember to be fabulous. Thank you.